Put your clothes on, Anne. We need to talk. Only he, out of everyone she knew, refused to call her Annie. Sounds ominous. She attempted a smile, which was not returned. They were in Venice to celebrate the 30th anniversary of their first meeting. Despite the glorious spring weather, the luxury of the Danieli Hotel, and the joy of feeling as though she were a tiny figure in a Canaletto masterpiece, the trip had not been a success. She had attempted to fill the uncomfortable silences with chatter. His irritation had been palpable. Tomorrow, they would fly back to Cambridge, she to her hectic schedule as a GP, and he to his long days as an orthopaedic surgeon. Once home, they would barely see each other, hardly talk. Annie was lying on the huge bed, dressed only in her lingerie. She might as well have been wearing a sack. For the past hour, her husband had been absorbed in his huge tome by Max Hastings, except when he had been reading, or responding to, the absurd number of texts coming his way. Why did he want to talk now? He could save whatever it was till they went out for dinner. It would make a change to chat while they ate. Please, Anne. She walked to the wardrobe and extracted high-heeled shoes and the black dress which made her look a size smaller. He did not help with the zip. It's not easy to know where to start, he began. But then the words tumbled out of him as he detailed the depressing state of their marriage. A burst of laughter drifted through the open window from the gondolier station below, and in the distance there was the sound of a violin tuning up. She had suggested going to a concert. There were posters everywhere advertising performances of Vivaldi's Four Seasons. He had been loftily dismissive. Surely, he had said, they were above such touristy offerings. Tears were running down her face now. She brushed them away impatiently. So, he stated dramatically, this is the end of the road.
We can try again, she wailed. Suddenly, all dignity gone, she flung herself on the floor and started to crawl towards him.
Apparently unmoved by her distress, he strode to the other end of the room and insisted that he must finish what he had to say. His coldness demolished her, so she remained in a heap on the carpet and listened.